It is time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And on the Phenology Show this morning, a quick review of the KAXE, KBXE Season Watch page and the Duluth Phenology page. Lots of owls in the Duluth area, hawk owls and snowy owls and great gray owls and northern boreal owls, and just a boatload of owls in that country. And coming this way as far as the Sac Zim Bog, lots of owls in the area, lots of owls. So if you have a chance to get out and see an owl, count your lucky stars. I've been hearing barred owls, and I've had a barred owl hanging out just above my bird feeder day and night. And that's not untypical of the barred owl. They oftentimes hunt during the day, and especially in the wintertime. And they will begin to sing their chorus probably in a month or so when they start to establish courtship. The great horned owls that are present just about everywhere in the United States, one of the most ubiquitous owls in the United States, the great horned owls are going to be calling, and may be calling, in a neighborhood near you right now. The male and the female will call back and forth as they begin their courtship. And come February, they will appropriate a nest. That is, appropriate. They won't build one, but they'll take over somebody's, a crow's nest or a goshawk nest or a red-tailed hawk nest or some other nest that's already been built will be overtaken by great horned owls, and they will lay their eggs. And one of those owls will be sitting on the baby chicks that hatch. There's about a three-day lapse between the first and second chicks there. And sometimes they actually do three, and then you'll have that, 9 days between the oldest and the youngest. The reason for that, and lots of birds of prey do the same thing. They stagger their, or they lay their eggs sequentially, but they brood from the very beginning, and that gives them, a sort of an age class of children. And the reason for that is that if the food is plentiful, they'll bring in all the food that all two or three of the little chicks need to feed. But if food is not plentiful and if going is tough, then the oldest bird, the largest of the three or the larger of the two, is going to eat first and get fed to its satisfaction before the smaller bird gets fed. And though that seems kind of cruel, it sort of guarantees that at least one of the offspring will survive. And so oftentimes that's how great gray owls do it. Bald eagles do the same thing, and other birds of prey also do that sort of thing, which kind of gives the best opportunity to survive to the eldest bird. And though it seems cruel, it's necessary, because if there isn't enough food coming in, it's better to starve two and save one than it is to starve all three. So listen for the call of the great horned owl in the next couple of weeks, because they're going to get started with their courtship and their nesting in just a few weeks as we move into February. It's also worthwhile to note, and I have seen plenty of evidence of this along my ski trails at home, the wolves and the coyotes and the foxes are all sort of getting ready to have their courtship and their mating, and they're starting to advertise their presence. I found both scat along my ski trails and along my driveway. I spotted a place where I think it was a coyote. I'm looking at the track, and I know that it's a canid. I know it's a dog, but it's not large enough, at least in my eyes. It's not large enough to be what I would suspect to be a wolf, but a spray of balsam coming down from the tree, a balsam branch very near the ground, and well-soaked with urine, and the snow below it well-soaked with urine as well. And these are advertisements for presents, and these canids are all telling one another where they are and what their availability is. So you can observe that kind of behavior right where you live if you're not right downtown. Snow buntings, there was a report in the Sac-Zim Bog page of a big flock of snow buntings in Sac-Zim Bog, and that is a bit, I won't say unusual, it's just that we haven't seen many, there haven't been a lot of snow bunting reports around this winter. The birds must have pushed further south for their wintertime respite in sunny Minnesota. And so we are seeing a few, but not very many of the snow buntings. And the Sac-Zim Bog apparently has quite a flock of them right now. But boy, those guys are vagabonds. They're going to be in your neighborhood today, and tomorrow they're going to be in somebody else's neighborhood, maybe 50 miles removed. They definitely get around. At my own bird feeder, this time of year, boy, it all centers on two things this time of year, food and water. And if you have food, as I do at my bird feeder, I've got probably 24 to 30 red poles. I've got quite a number of red-breasted nuthatches. I've got maybe three or four white-breasted nuthatches. I've got a bunch of chickadees, and I don't know how you count chickadees. They're almost impossible to count because they come and go, and you never know if you're seeing the same one twice or if it's a different one each time. So chickadees are a little hard to count. Of the woodpeckers, you may recall that I talked earlier this winter about not seeing very many downy and hairy woodpeckers. I had a bunch kind of in November, and then there was a period in November where I had none. Well, now I have, I think, a male and female hairy, a male and female downy, and a male and female pileated or pileated woodpecker, but not any more than that. Or if there are more, I'm not being able to pick them out from the crowd. So far, what I've seen are just singles of those three species of woodpeckers. So still some woodpeckers around, and that's kind of nice to see. But, it's time to move on and have something new come along. One of the things that I've been noticing is the dried flowers from last fall or last summer. And the asters especially catch the eye right now and give proof or truth to the name aster, which is star. And if you look at the bracts that remain after all of the seeds have gone away from the asters, you see this very star-like circle with these kind of radiating, rough-edged bracts, which are the protection for the bud before it breaks open and then lay back and support the flower and the seeds. And then when the seeds are all blown away, as they are now, what you see are these star-like structures on the asters. So even though it's kind of a, pardon me, kind of a tough time of year to get out and see things, there are a few things to look at out there, and dried plants are one of them. So get out. Get outside. It's going to warm up in the next couple of days. Good chance to go out and see what's going on in your neighborhood. When you find something, send it along. We always like to hear from you.